Okay. We're going to... I can't get out of Jeremiah. You know that. It's not going to happen. We're going to be in Jeremiah for sermon for this morning. And probably one more week, even. There's too much in Jeremiah. And like I said last week, if you have not read Jeremiah, read it. But if you haven't read it with the idea that Jeremiah is today in America. I mean, he's talking about rejecting God's words. He doesn't just say that God's word, capital W. He's talking about God's words. And where are God's words? You cannot have an NIV, ASV, RSV, TV, all these kind of Bibles and have God's words, because they're different. It's just not possible. The common sense of that thing amazes me, that folks would think that this one is God's words. This one is God's words. This one is God's words. How can that be if they're all different? It's not possible. Doesn't make sense. So, with that in mind, knowing the condition America is in is because of rejecting God's words back in the early 1900s, knowing that even those of the King James Bible who reject rightly dividing are actually, in effect, rejecting God's words, because you're not reading them the way they're written, so they're still not God's words to you, then according to 2 Timothy 3:16, then anything based on something that is not rightly dividing is vain babblings. And it ends up in an increase in ungodliness. So what has happened to America? Reject God's words, wrongly divide the ones they have. We're increasing in ungodliness, and that's what's going on. Does that sound too simple? It is. It's very simple. You don't need to read a bunch of books on what's going on in America. You just read the fact that Christianity today has rejected God's words. The message is different than words. You can say a message and have different words, but nowhere does it say in the Bible God's message, unless you have a new Bible. So this book that's been around since 1611, which is That Which Is Perfect Is Come, all the pizzazz of the healings and the knowledge from God above and all these things stopped when that Bible was put into English in 1611, and for almost 400 years that book has been honored by God in the results of our country and mission fields and da-da-da-da. However, we have seen that Bible all by itself has been rejected because of wrongly dividing. And we all are suffering from growing up with wrong dividing. We've all been snookered into some teaching somewhere, as good as they are, because of, bottom line, rejecting God's words in some form or another. So if you go back and you read Jeremiah from the beginning all the way through, knowing that what he's doing, he's telling God's people that they rejected his words, what he has to say could be quoted today. You could quote that stuff and sound like you're saying what needs to be said. So if you go through Jeremiah and you read it like that, you're reading what a preacher should say today. And what are they saying today? They're saying, win souls, build a bigger church, they're giving kids lousy, lousy music. They've replaced the Bible in kids' lives with rock music and Christian music. And they've taken the Bible away from kids. If they didn't take the Bible away from kids, they didn't teach them how to read. I mean, there's something has to be done to get them away from God's words. Back to the first question. Are all these 500 different Bible versions today all God's words? No, they can't be. They're different. And we will see how a person can come to those conclusions, I suppose, whatever. So we're on part 3 of Jeremiah. And I just outlined some general things I want to be sure and talk about. But really, you need to just read Jeremiah. Well, I read it once. You need to read it again. Well, you talked about it twice. You need to read it again. If you want to see how things should be said today, and in some respects, what I should be saying in church here, keeping in mind that the consequences that Jeremiah's people had to suffer, we don't have that threat. However, American Christianity, which is religion, does have to worry about that because they don't have God. How can you say such a thing? Because the Bible is very clear about that. And Paul warns about having another Jesus with another spirit and another gospel. And we've proven that over and over again by looking at the Word of God, which is magnified above even His name. You put His words above His name, and that Bible will tell you whether you've got the right Jesus or not. But it has to be above His name in order to do that. Psalm 138. Okay, so what does Jeremiah have to say in Sunday school this morning? Well, I had it all done, and I thought, no, we have to do that in the main preachy thing, because I'm Jeremiah preachy today, so we're going to do Jeremiah this morning and upstairs as well. Let's look at some smaller things here, just a little bit. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 22. Just some quick things. These are just some odds and ends that are in Jeremiah. And just point out some things. Am I just in a Jeremiah mood today, or is it hot and stuffy in here?
It's hot.
Hot and stuffy. Okay. I'm still in a Jeremiah mood, though. Okay, make sure it goes on me. Want to make sure if you're hot and stuffy, so am I. There you go. Hang on to your notes. Cool off your coffee. Okay, Jeremiah 22, verse 28. Here's the spot in Jeremiah where it talks about we're done with all the kings. God is done with all the kings. Chapter 22, verse 28. And Jeconiah is the last one. And they mess up like they've been doing for all these years. And he says in verse 28, is this man Kaniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast out into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. This is a verse that tells us, Jeremiah tells these people that there will be no more male seed on the throne, that David's throne there, that's trying to run the ship. God says, I'm done, I've tried it, it's not going to happen ever again. And then we go to Genesis chapter 3:15. If there's no male seed that's going to be there, then what do we have to have? We have to have the female seed, the woman's seed, and the women do not have a seed. So what are we talking about here? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God says to Eve, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between to the devil, I mean, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Way back to Genesis 3:15, we get a prophecy about Jesus Christ. And he is not born of a male seed. That's why it has to be that conception like it talks about in the Gospels. So way back to Genesis 3:15, and the verse you need to be able to show people is in Jeremiah 22, verse 28. That's a marvelous, marvelous, marvelous verse there. I don't know what it says in a different Bible, but I bet you it doesn't quite say that. I don't know. I'd look at it later. The modern Bibles pretty much chew up the New Testament, and they kind of chisel around, and the Old Testament doesn't seem to bother them a whole lot what history is, but they're missing it. Okay, let's go to chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 20, just down another notch there. And that whole chapter is what we're going to talk about this morning in church. Now, you know what I think about chapter 23, I think. It talks all about pastors, woe to the pastors. So we'll talk about that in the main service. Let's go to Jeremiah 25. I mean, I don't know how to highlight verses. We're just going to do sections here this morning. I encourage you to read Jeremiah, King James Bible. You won't hear it said anywhere else better than that. Genesis 25, verse 10. We've been over this a number of times, but I want to just make sure you've got all the verses that are there. There's an awful lot of verses in Jeremiah that hint to the tribulation, because Jeremiah is talking about, as you have rejected God's words, then Jerusalem, which is the last of the area that Nebuchadnezzar hasn't taken over and destroyed, he's telling them that Nebuchadnezzar, these guys are going to come in and they're going to just destroy Jerusalem. And it's going to be horrible torture, all that kind of stuff. So, knowing that Jeremiah is preaching how they have rejected God's words, and we live in a day and age where we are rejecting God's words, and we know what happened when they rejected God's words, and we see what's coming, what the Bible calls a tribulation, we can pretty much look back in Jeremiah and we can see some clues of what it's going to be like in the tribulation. Because I'm not going to be here to verify this. Doesn't bother me. But there are some things that we can see that will be in the official tribulation. We can see them already starting to happen today. I mean, nothing in God's timing that I can remember here does it suddenly change just like that. There's a transition. There's always transition in it. It just is. And this tribulation isn't going to just suddenly be here. It's working its way up, and then suddenly we're out of here, and then you got the tribulation, but they're not even going to notice anything other than the fact that somebody's gone. So they have to be given a religion that they're going to have in the tribulation based on Revelation 14, you know, obey the law, have faith, and don't take the mark. They're going to already have that thing already pretty much kicked into gear for those that really want to know the truth, and everybody else is going to be deceived with peace and a religion that they're going to really enjoy, drawn up by flatteries. And so that whole thing, in order for it to make it into the tribulation, has to already be in place before it becomes official. So I believe that we're in the last times of the Philadelphian church era, and we're going to start seeing more and more of this Laodicean stuff. But God isn't going to chastise. God isn't going to do the stuff that He's not going to spew them out, because see, that doesn't happen till the tribulation. So we're going to see some things that are going to be tribulational, but aren't official yet. And we can learn from what's going on by reading about what the tribulation is going to be. For example, Jeremiah 25:10, this is where he says, historically as well as futuristically, moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. You look at those things, and you see that that's what's going to be gone during the tribulation, and you can already see this happening. In America, especially. The voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, it's just going away. You can't go into stores, there's no gladness. And I hate to use the word party, but there's no joy. I mean, we're losing that in America as a nation. In the world, it's going. The voice of the bridegroom, who's that? Well, that'd be the Lord. He's the bridegroom. And where's His voice? It's not in people's hearts. That was done pre-Paul, pre-King James Bible, early Acts. That was done through Peter and the Gospels and Stephen and those guys. And even in Paul's time, because they didn't have a Bible yet. That does not happen today. That's rightly dividing. Rightly dividing will prove over and over and over that God does not speak in our hearts except through this Bible. Not from out here. So as a result of that, we're living in a day and age where the Bible, the King James Bible, is pretty much hard to get. It's going to be a famine for them in Amos chapter 8. And so we see that the voice of the bridegroom is already disappearing. I mean, it's all, you know, it's just not going to be there. And the voice of the bride, well, the bride will be gone. Who's that? Who's the bride? So the voice of the bride will be gone. The sound of the millstones, that's work. We know it's an employment thing, even though they say it's doing wonderful. We know it's not. And the light of the candle. Churches, you can go all sorts of places with that thing. But I wanted you to see a couple other places before we go on to something else. Look at chapter 16. Here it is again. Chapter 16, verse 9. Now, you can read the verses before and after, and there's other things that are going to be happening during the tribulation. But why are we worried about the tribulation? I'm not worried about the tribulation. But what bothers me is when we see things that are happening today, some people think we're in the tribulation. They really think this is the time of the tribulation because they're seeing some of these things. Listen, if this is the time of tribulation, we're in great trouble because we're preaching a false gospel. That's what Paul says. The gospel that's to be preached is going to match up with what Paul teaches. And Revelation does not match what Paul teaches. So either we're in Paul's time as far as the Gentiles, or we're past the time of the Gentiles, and we're in the tribulation. And we're preaching a horribly false message. So if anybody asks you to take the mark, don't take it. Well, yeah, well, they haven't even got that thing perfected yet. How can we be in the tribulation? There's just all sorts of things. And these people that are preaching God's chastisement, and they're preaching, obey your pastor, or you worry about your soul, or losing your salvation, or this modern Christian music worship, which is 100% unscriptural and false, based on the scriptures, then that's what's going to be going on in the tribulation. So if it's already going on now, when we know it's wrong, we can see that we're really getting pretty close. That this thing is just going to just blend right into the tribulation, and there has to be a little bump in the system. What's that? That's called the rapture. and boop, out of here, and it's just going to, they're just ready to go. And I believe that people that reject the King James Bible are rejecting God's words, and if they talk about God told them this and whatever, then they're caught up with another Jesus, and they're caught up with another spirit, and they're listening to another gospel, and Paul says it would be a curse if they do that, and if they're doing this worship stuff, they've fallen for the flesh of what the tribulation will be, which would be fleshly worship, because in the tribulation, the Spirit of God will be upon their flesh. Acts chapter 2, I think it is. They'll have to have the Spirit of God upon their flesh to do these things. So what they're doing today is the devil is using these preaches of righteousness to tell people in their flesh to do what will be done in the flesh in the tribulation. But they're trying to do it today, and so it's false worship. God doesn't hear that worship. He says it, Acts chapter 2. God doesn't hear these things. God is not preaching this message that people are preaching in the churches today. And Jeremiah says it to the max in chapter 23. Now, did you follow all that? We do this a lot. We say this a lot, but so what's the point of knowing that? Well, you know people that don't believe the King James Bible to be the Word of God. You know people that are caught up in this worship thing and this music of modern Christianity and what we call American Christianity. You know people that are into that. Somehow, they've got to recognize what's going on. And the only way they can recognize what's going on is to start with acknowledging the truth. What is the truth? Thy Word is truth. What is Thy Word? Is this Thy Word or not? Is this other one Thy Word or not? Well, sure it is. No, they're different. Can't be. One of them can't be the Word of God. So, they need to see this stuff. And when they understand what the Word of God is, then it needs to be rightly divided. If you can rightly divide a false Bible and get nowhere. Because they don't even tell you to rightly divide the Bible in a modern Bible. They don't even tell you that. It's not in there. You can't even tell a modern Bible that God has a promise to preserve His words from generation to generation in Psalm chapters 12, 6, and 7 because it's not in any of the other Bibles. So how are we going to prove somebody using their Bible that God promised to preserve His words when their Bible doesn't say that? How are you going to show somebody in a modern... I'm grumpy today. How are you going to show somebody rightly dividing in their Bible when their Bible doesn't tell them to rightly divide? Where are you going to go with that? It's really tough. Well, anyway. 16, verse 9. Ask them on the website, was that clear? Because I mumble a lot. I need a radio voice. I just need a voice. Verse 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. See, there you go. I mean, read before and after that thing. It's marvelous. Look at Jeremiah 33. This is the verse I like. Chapter 33. And I was wondering for a couple of years what this one last part of this verse meant, but boy, I sure understand it today. And these kind of folks are disappearing in churches. They're going to the modern church. Jeremiah 33, verse 11. Again, it's repeated again. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say. Now here's the new one, see. This will also be gone during the tribulation, and this is what's disappearing today. Them that say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. See, and that is not the message of the modern Christian worship crowd. Now look at the next part. And of them, this will be gone, of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Now we know that this building is not the house of the Lord as it was in that day, but this is the temple of God. So when we get into this music worship stuff, which is just a common thing everywhere. There are more CDs and tapes in people's homes and in religious bookstores than there are Bibles. So, in these last times here, we are seeing these people that want to do the music in the proper format, in the proper way, in both of these verses, they're already disappearing. We've had people come to this church and leave before the preaching. I can understand leaving during the preaching. I can understand them looking at me going, no, not really him. I can understand that. But to leave during the song service tells me that they don't like the old-fashioned hymns, or they don't like how you sing. And you all sing pretty, pretty good. It's not that big a deal. So that must not be what it is. They don't want the old traditional hymns. And those traditional hymns, most of the time, have true biblical doctrine. We're finding more and more little blurbs in there that are wrong. But they don't want that. And that's these people that these the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, and for his mercy endureth forever. They don't say that today. For his mercy endureth forever, unless you're doing wrong, and he'll spank you, he'll beat you. That's not his mercy. See? And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise, in that day there was a sacrifice of praise that God would hear. And there was a sacrifice of praise that God would not hear. Talks about it in Amos. Not to hear Amos. Is it Amos? Yes, Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 5 and 6. He says, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. Chapter 6, chant to the sound of the viol. There was a music, there was a praise and a worship in the Old Testament days that God would not hear. So that's what he's talking about here. If we have coming up the tribulation and Nebuchadnezzar as such is going to come and destroy Jerusalem, which will be Christianity, the true Christianity, then the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, all those voices are going to be gone. So are those that are going to be doing the right kind of music. And this is what's going on in our churches. Wrong music. Flesh music. New age music. Perverted music. Beat. It's all Ham. It's all Shem. It has nothing to do with Japheth. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And people, you can't tell them it's wrong because they enjoy it. Well, of course they enjoy it. It's flesh. We've all been brought up with all of our TVs and commercials and on videos and all these things. See, that's one of the problems of videos, by the way, for children. They're becoming numbed. Now listen to this. Our kids are being numbed to music with the TVs and the cartoons and the videos and the sports programs and the commercials. They're hearing a music that is numbing them to what God says is wrong music. Whether you understand it or not, they're being destroyed musically, and they will be able to slide right into these new churches because they enjoy that music, and they'll enjoy it in the flesh, and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Antichrist, the devil, will have them. That's what's happening. This is serious stuff in music today. This is serious stuff. And I'm telling you, if you let your kids listen to that stuff, you are damaging your children. And like I said Wednesday night, are you willing to acknowledge or admit that when you turn on a video or a TV program or a cartoon or whatever, you are damaging your children? And if you'll admit to that, don't say, I don't know what else to do. You better figure something out to do because you're damaging your children. And you know, and we know that the kids that are growing up, they're heading for the school, the homes or whatever your husband's involved with. They're being destroyed. Don't get into that now. Let's get back to Jeremiah. Music is a killer. And if you think that there's false, if you don't think there's false doctrine in some of these cute little cartoons and TV programs and videos and sports games and commercials, et cetera, then you're wrong because music is the false doctrine that's in there. Music. Music. Okay, chapter 36. This is what I wanted to get into. I just kind of slipped on that one. Okay. Time for a coffee break without any coffee grounds. We got some verses in there where Jeremiah talks about the judgment on Jerusalem, and it's really serious. I mean, he really, Jerusalem really gets clobbered, the people. And I got a couple of verses from Paul where it says we're supposed to learn from these things, but maybe next week. I want to show you this morning about chapter 36 because this is a marvelous chapter. This is the chapter about Jeremiah is told to write a book. I just really like this chapter. And then it carries us off into Jeremiah, goes right to prison after this. And I don't really want to read about the prison thing because I just don't want to go down into that mire. Remember the mire thing? Muck and mire? There's no muck and mire in the Bible. But it's the same thing. We talked about it a long time ago. We sang about it or whatever. Jeremiah 36, verse 1. What does your Bible notes at the top of your page say about chapter 36? Mine say a roll of threatening prophecies. What do you have on yours? Anybody? Because that's not part of the inspired text, so that's whatever anybody puts in there. But Oh, Rechabites. Yeah, okay. What else? Anybody else got something up there? What's that? Yeah, that's chapter 35. Okay. How about the next page, Woody?
What? Records record the prophecy.
Okay.
The next page, 37, is the role of prophecy.
Right, okay. Now, sometimes those headings don't match where the chapter begins. What's yours say, Sam?
Same as Jeremiah records prophecies.
Yep, see? This one says a roll of threatening prophecies.
Mine says the burning of the roll.
Okay. Well, we know that story, don't we? Marvelous rolls, Marcy, but that oven, we got to fix that oven. We had a couple little minor crispy rolls this morning. Not bad, but the burning of the rolls, yeah, that was... I guess you made the Bible, Sam. We made it in there. By the way, this is Sam Filson from Georgia. He's a former dive man, submarine thing, which I'm pretty impressed with. But he's thinking of moving out from Georgia and getting involved quite a bit here, which is pretty exciting. Well, we'll see. We'll see. People talk. And anyway. Now, chapter 36, we have time, I guess. We might get into this, but I want to show you some things about this guy named Baruch, or Baruch probably. We'll read verse 1 here first. And it came to pass, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying. See, now here's an example where God would talk to people. He does do that. He did do that. In order for Jeremiah to hear from God, God had to talk to him. He didn't have a King James Bible. You know, he didn't have all these millions of pieces of little manuscripts and papyrus that Sam Gibbs says that everybody has back before the King James Bible. That doesn't tell you anything where the Bible was before 1611. It says nothing about that. There was no Bible before that. There were all these preliminary writings that were preserved and purified more and more, and as Ripperger says, polished, and when it's done, it's complete. Anything before that, God had to talk to him, either through visions, dreams, or whatever. That's how it was. So yes, it's in the Bible. He did do that, but he doesn't do that today, since that which is perfect is come, it has come. And then when he comes himself physically, then the physical kingdoms will be upon this earth. Right now, through this spiritual book of that which is perfect is come, we have a spiritual kingdom. It's called the kingdom of God. Those other Bibles are not swords of the Spirit. He does not have a collection of various swords. He has got one sword, King James Bible. So frustrating. That opens up so many things if people could accept that. Okay, verse 2. Here's what he says to Jeremiah. Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. Josiah, kids, we learned about Josiah. See? This stuff all this Old Testament kind of just comes together if you got a memory to remember what you read about some of these guys. See, that's the problem here. Josiah, he's back in Second Chronicles towards the end, and yeah, why didn't you just put that together? Because we would have just kind of slopped through this thing. He makes you study. Okay, here's what, and these are things against Israel, the whole world. Okay. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Maybe. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord. Now, how did Baruch get into this thing? God told Jeremiah to do this. Well, Jeremiah had enough money to have a staff or a secretary. So, Med, LD? Anyway. He wrote from the mouth. Jeremiah told Baruch what to write. God told Jeremiah what to say. Baruch wrote it down. You know, Paul didn't have to handwrite all of his books. You know that. Yes, there's other guys that wrote that stuff down and delivered it. So, anyway. All Jeremiah, all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Okay? And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house. Why do they do the ears? They didn't have a Bible. Okay? So these guys had to take this one book that Jeremiah had Baruch write, and they had to say these things so their ears would hear it. In the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also that thou shalt read them in the ears. See? Read them in the ears. What do you need to do with your children? Read to their ears. The brain isn't going to get it, the heart isn't going to get it, but you read to their ears. You know, bring your ears over tonight, kids, or I'm going to read some stuff. We need to have a reading night. Remind me, your reading night. Get that started again. Bring your ears. We should call it ear night or something. We're going to read to our ears. They did not have a Bible. Also, thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. Now, we got to go back to verse 5. I want to park in that verse 5. Commander Baruch saying, I am shut up. Jeremiah was shut up. So he needed Baruch to write this, go down and take this thing and read this to these people. Now, look at chapter 11. How could Jeremiah, was he in prison? No, it doesn't come until later. Jeremiah 11, verse 10. Now, I've had people call me Moses here. And the person that would call me, I'm doing this because he'll have to listen to this because you probably won't pass this one on. And this person was kind of like a Joshua. Sometimes I thought he was more like an Aaron, but you know, hey, you know, you have help, you can have help. But I've come to see that we're supposed to have like a ministry like Jeremiah had. Jeremiah had no church. He did not build this great work. He did what God told him to do, and that was to tell people they're rejecting God's words. But there came a time when Jeremiah was shut up. Chapter 11, look at chapter 11, verse 10. They turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers, that type of thing. Which refused to hear my words. They were not listening to his words. What does that make Jeremiah? He's been shut up. Have you ever had your children not listen to you? Do you remember way back whenever that happened? Once or twice? They're shutting you out. They shut you out. And as a result, they're not hearing you. And you probably come up with some of the best advice in the world, some of the best things to say, and you find as a parent you've been shut out. They basically are telling you to shut up without getting their head cut off. But that's what they're doing to you. This is what happened to Jeremiah. Look at chapter 13. They refused to hear his words. Jeremiah 13, verse 10. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them, and to worship them, these are false gods, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing. Remember the girdle story. Take that girdle out there a couple hundred miles away, stick it in a rock, come back home, go back and get it. What? Okay, walk back and get it. They didn't have public transportation in those days. Walk back, get that thing, the thing was rotted. And he says, this is what's going to happen to my people. Because they would not hear his words. Jeremiah was shut up because Jeremiah was how they heard from God. God did not talk to these people. He talked to Jeremiah, who told them what God said. God does not talk to people today. He talks through this book, which will tell you what God has to say. Why is that concept so hard for people? God would talk to prophets, and they have to go talk to these people. God talks to pastors today? No, he talks to this book. And through this book, he even says that in John chapter 14, that he's going to tell the Holy Spirit what to say. And it's in this Bible right here, and that's how you hear from God. You're hearing from God today because I'm reading the Bible to you. That's all that is. And it has to be rightly divided because God's going to tell you some things that are for you. God's still telling us that. That's why we don't reject Genesis to Revelation. Even though we talk about Paul's epistles, we don't reject any of that other stuff. God tells you these things because it's for us to learn from. But what he tells to you is Paul's books. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. Is that so hard? Apparently, because everybody's thinking we're just not talking about that. But anyway, we are shut up. They tell you to shut up when they walk by the booth. They don't want to hear it. They're shutting you out. This is what happened to Jeremiah. You've got your friends from the past school and stuff like that, and you're trying to show them some stuff about Paul. Anybody you try to show that to, they basically shut you up. They don't want to hear it. Right? That's what's happening. This is what happened to Jeremiah. Look at chapter 18. But Jeremiah is just not the right kind of day. A potluck day is not a day for Jeremiah. Kind of stirs your stomach before you have something good to eat. Jeremiah 18, verse 18. This is the classic verse here. Then said they, "Come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet." We got problems here. This guy is a problem. "Come and let us smite him with the what? The tongue." "Oh, don't talk to me like that. You know, Dad, how could you say such a thing? Oh, I'm so hurt." You know, you can't hardly even talk to your kids anymore because they're so easily offended. How do you tell somebody, how do you tell your kids that either they look dumb, look stupid, sound stupid? I mean, it's just, you can't go in public like that. You just can't do that. They're majorly hurt. I mean, they're majorly offended. They're angered. What is going on today? And yet you can hit them with a rock, you can spank them and beat them, and it doesn't, you know, whatever. And how's that old thing go? "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words shall never hurt me." Well, man, the wrong word, and you can bury a guy for 100 years. This is terrible. So they're going to smite him with the tongue. Did it work? Yes, chapter 20. He wanted to quit. Oh, they're saying such hard things to that kind of a deal. But here's what I want you to see. And it says also, "Let us not give heed to any of his words." People come to church here, and they will say, "Nice church, but I'm not listening. I don't believe the King James Bible. I'm not listening. I'll hear you, but I can't stop it here, but I'm not listening." And they'll do that. Oh, yeah. You want to see that? See, when you stand in the pulpit, I should put a big mirror up here so you can watch everybody's faces. I can tell you who's not listening, who doesn't believe what I'm saying. Look at Mim right now. She's not believing a thing I'm saying. I can just tell. She's tired, worked hard, you know, homeschool mother. You could care less what I have to say. She's shutting me up. But you can see that in a church thing. You really can. You can see people that come in here want to smite me with the tongue. Want to smite you with the tongue. They're not going to come up and lick you in the back of the head and go, get you. They're going to say something to you. Because they're going to bite your head off with their tongue. We have had that, you know. Well, what guy would do that? What guy would do that? No, anyway. Oh, guys say some things too. Let's not get heed to any of his words. Okay, so here's Jeremiah. Now go back to chapter 19. Oh, we're at 19. Look at the next chapter, 19, verse 15. One more. So here's this mark. Why are you parking so hard on this Jeremiah Baruch thing? I'll show you here in a minute. Jeremiah 19, verse 15. Look again, the last phrase. Look at the last phrase. Because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. That'd be an interesting study. How do you harden your neck so you don't hear something? When you quit listening, look at your kids. Look at your kids when they quit listening to you. You're going to see something there. I mean, they just harden up. You ever tried to hug a kid when he's in trouble? It's like picking up a board off the lumber pack. Just, whoa, this guy's like a board. They really harden up. Isn't that amazing? So they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. Okay, now, go to Jeremiah 45. Chapter 45. Here's this chapter 36 about the book. We'll probably do that next week or whatever. And Baruch's the man that's going to help Jeremiah do this. But let's see, we're in chapter 36. How many chapters is to 45, Olivia? Who's got the math thing? From chapter 36 to chapter 45, how many chapters is that? I have no idea. What? Quick, somebody tell her, quick. 19? Well, close, but Mom had said it's not loud enough. 9. There we go. That's okay. Yeah, listen to me anyway. What do you care? You know? Check out, look at her neck, Danny. Look at your mom's neck. Is it getting hard? 9 chapters later, here's a little bitty blurb about Baruch. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, which we know is what he's going to do, in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which matches, by the way, Jeremiah 36:1, he says, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, saying, this is what Jeremiah says, but this is basically God talking to Baruch through Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. So here's, now you picture this thing. Here's Jeremiah, he needs a good helper. They're not listening to Jeremiah. He needs somebody that they'll listen to. Right? And so God's going to tell Jeremiah to tell Baruch what to write down, and then take that out there, and they're going to hear those words written. Well, you would think that Jeremiah was excited. I mean, he's going to help. Baruch is excited. I get to go help Jeremiah. Oh, boy. And I know Jeremiah is making a lot of friends. Oh, boy. I get to work in a ministry that everybody in town loves. Oh, boy. You know? And God says, I heard you say, Baruch, you said to me, woe is me now. He was a whiner. For the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. But now there's the kind of helper to have. A whiner. And here's verse 4. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord said thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down. Why did I say that again here? Behold, that which I have built will I break down. And that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. Okay? And God says to Jeremiah, to Baruch, listen, I'll take care of things. If I want to tear it down, I'll tear it down. And if I want to pluck it up, and if I want to build it, whatever, I'll do that. He's God. I mean, he can do this. And don't worry about what your ministry is supposed to be doing. Right? Because remember, he did do what Jeremiah asked him to do. But now look at verse 5. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Yeah, I'll go help Jeremiah, but I want to come out ahead in this deal. I need a raise, I need some money, I need a car, what can Baruch do that will give him great things for himself? Baruch was thinking of who? Baruch. He was thinking of himself. So, amidst this thing in chapter 36, let's go back to chapter 36 here. 36, we see where Jeremiah tells Baruch to go, and Baruch goes and does all these things. And we know that the Bible, the book is cut up by the king and tossed into the fire. We'll don't have time for that this morning, but we'll start that next week, which means we go 2 more weeks with Jeremiah. So he's doing all this. But now we know the personality, we know the struggle that Baruch had to do this. He was selfish. He wanted personal gain, and he was a whiner. And that's not the kind of Baruch I want. So I don't need a Joshua. I need a Baruch because some people have quit listening. What happened to the Sunday school lightness of the hour here? You quit listening. Because now we're talking about Timothy and Titus. And Timothy and Titus, Paul tells Timothy and Titus, I guess, are really tough things, because it talks about modesty. It talks about ladies. It talks about men. It talks about in Thessalonians. It talks about, listen, we need to be able to do a holy walk because these guys have already exhorted and comforted and charged us. And if we have heeded what Paul has said to us, which we all claim to have heeded because we love Paul, then we should realize that within our homes, what I talked about Wednesday night, is that will you admit that you're damaging your children? And I'll tell you right now, some of you are not listening. I need a Baruch to come in here and tell you some things that you need to hear that you will not hear from me anymore. That's what we need. I'm not crabby. I'm not grumpy about it. You know, I know what's going on. And your pride is such that who is he to tell me? It isn't me telling you. It's God. You've read it. Men, you have read where we are with this thing. And you're not listening. You're busy. You've got to listen, because you're damaging your children. If I could stand here and I would tell you individually what's happening to your children and what I know as I see here, you would hear, you would say, yes, that's right, that's right, that's right, and you would go home and you probably wouldn't do anything about it. Because you were rooted into what you're doing in your life. Your family is what it's going to be. It's not going to change. You're too busy. That's America. I need a Baruch to come in here who you don't know, and he doesn't know you, and preach what God would. He'd preach the same thing. Because that's what the Bible, he'll preach that. Did Baruch get anywhere? No. King cut it up, burnt the thing up, and we'll talk about that next week. But that's what God designed to have done. So I don't need a Joshua, not anything personally offensive there. We don't need a Joshua. I don't need an Aaron. We need a Baruch here. Pray for a Baruch. Either that or open your ears to what this book is telling us about your children. Or maybe you as a husband. Or maybe you as a wife. Or maybe just you as a Christian. We've been through this stuff long enough. Don't shut up that book. We are shutting up this book, even though we're reading it. In lots of ways, we're not listening now because we've come to the walk. We don't want to listen to that one. So, if worse comes to worse, because I know there are some things I can't say. I know that. Well, you're the pastor. Why can't you say them? Because, see, I'm not supposed to know some of these things. I know some of these things that are going on. So if I say something, you're going to go after the snitch. Whether it be your husband or your wife or your children or your neighbor or your fellow worker or whatever, wherever I'm hearing this stuff from, well, it's not right to be hearing this stuff. Get over that and let's go to the source of the problem here and let's fix it before your kids and grandkids are done. Let's get serious here. So I can't say some of that stuff. I really can't. You can even ask me in the privacy of my room. And I can't tell you some of the stuff because you'll go after the snitch. I need a Baruch. I hope he comes. For your kids' sake.